I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22 in the Word of God. We find a character in this chapter of God's precious Word that is certainly refreshing to our soul. You know, as we read the Bible, we are impressed with the fact that God tells the truth about the people He is recording in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons that we know the Bible is the Word of God, simply because God does not shield the faults, the mistakes of those who are His children and those who are used in His plan and recorded in the Bible. There is David, a man after God's own heart, and yet God gives us some of the details of the sin of his life, or sins of his life, or there were several. And yet God does not withdraw or withhold from us the sins of the saints of God. Therefore, we have a good many, and of course, for that matter, he does not withhold the sins of the unsaved in the Bible. For that matter, he does not withhold some good that is done by those who are not saved in the Bible. So we have a word, the Bible, that teaches us exactly the truth. We can depend on everything that the Bible says. But as we read in the book of Judges and in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, we find some very, very sordid characters. We find men who just absolutely are not at all the kind of men that we would want our children to grow up to be, nor would we want to be those kind of men. Some of the kings of Israel were terrible. They were vicious kings. I could use the word awful. They were sinful, and they did terrible things. And we read about them, and we see what they did in the account in the Bible, and it certainly causes us to cringe at the evil of mankind. And we read about all of those. There's Manasseh, and we read about others here in these scriptures that tell us how bad men can be and how terrible the fall really is. And yet it is a refreshing thing when we come to a character like Josiah here in the 22nd chapter. Now Josiah was only 8 years old whenever he started in his life that God registered and starts out as the king in Jerusalem. Let's read a few of these verses, and I want to point out some of the things that are refreshing in this life to us, some of the things that will encourage our hearts. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now here is a lad of only 8 years old who was placed in the position of being the king of Judah. Here is a man that was a reigning king at 8 years old. You say, well, now that's entirely too young, and so others must have run the kingdom for him. But yet we seem to find this young man unusually capable of doing the job, and he held that job for 31 years. Now his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And verse 2 is what is so refreshing to our heart. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. Now we can find many good qualities about this young man right here in the second chapter. First of all, he recognized right from wrong. He recognized that there was a right way and that there is a wrong way. And he saw that very early in his life, and he did that which was right, and he walked in the way of David his father. Now that, of course, is in the righteous ways of David his father. So he knew right from wrong, and he recognized right from wrong. One of the problems that we have in the world today among men is the failure to recognize right from wrong. Oh, I know it would not be all that difficult if folks would just read the Bible. If they would accept the Bible as the final authority, then the moral problems would not be so besmirched and smudged, and there would not be so much gray area as there seems to be in the mind of some. For the Bible is very clear on moral issues. The Bible is very clear as to what is right and to what is wrong. The problem with mankind is not that it's difficult to know right from wrong, but they do not wish to leave the wrong and go the right. Well, here's a young man that did, and certainly God has placed him in the pages of his word, and he records to us that he did that which was right. Then he did that because he knew his heritage from his father David. He knew his heritage, that David was a godly man. David was a godly man. So what we have here then is a man that recognizes right from wrong. Now that certainly is refreshing in your day and mine. For today, many of our young men, though they may not be kings, yet they have a responsibility before God. And many of our young men today are trying to ignore completely the lines that are drawn between right and wrong. Well, you'd better face it, my friend. There is a right and there is a wrong. It is not a matter of the situation in which you find yourself. If the Bible says that it is wrong, then without any question, it is wrong. And for a young man to recognize that in his very young age will certainly cause him to be honored by the Lord. Now let's read on. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Now here is a young man that not only recognized right from wrong, but he wanted to restore the proper place of worship. There was a physical place of worship, and that is the temple. Now, in the day that you and I live, in the age of grace that we are in, we can worship the Lord anywhere at any time. How grateful we are for that. How thankful I am that I do not have to wait until a Sabbath rolls around, until I can serve the Lord, or until I can worship Him, or until I can pray to Him and get an answer from Him. But in those days, of course, there was a designated place, and that place was the temple. And it had been broken down. It had been destroyed somewhat. There were breaches in the temple. The decay of the years of not paying attention to it, not keeping it up. And this young man recognized that, and he wanted to restore the temple. Now, we recognize today that though we can worship God anywhere, though God is with us at all times in the person of the Holy Spirit, there is a place that is designated by the New Testament for us to contact God. Now, by that I mean there is a plan that is instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ of an assembly of people. It is not called the temple. It is not called the tabernacle, as the building was in the Old Testament. It is called the church. Now, it is not the building. It is not the walls and the roof. It is not the doors and the windows or the carpet on the floor or the organ. It is not the vestibule. It is not the building. But it is a body of born-again believers that assemble themselves together on a regular basis to worship the Lord. Now, this young man, had he been living in the church age, he lived in the age of the law. He lived in the age whenever God had placed the temple there with the priest offerings and sacrifices to be carried out. But now, in this age, we meet together in fellowship as a body of born-again believers. Had Josiah been living today, were he living today, then he would have the same respect, I believe, and have the same concern for the church, for the gathering of God's people according to the plan and according to the word of the Lord. Certainly there needs to be some restoration. There is restoration here of the temple. There needs to be some restoration of the church in your day and mine. Now, wait a minute. The church has not failed. Church is not going backwards. The church is going forward. God's church. A lot of denominations are going backward. A lot of denominations have gone astray. A lot of denominational groups have gone wrong and have gone in the wrong direction. But God's church is on schedule and God's church is right. But I'm sure in any given church, there is a necessary thing that we need, and that is to turn to the Lord for Holy Spirit revival. And we need a restoration of that fellowship and communion that we have with God. Now we have it to a degree. There are many good churches, many good Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, missionary-minded churches that's doing the job for God today. But there are many, many others that need a real revival. Well, I think Josiah, had he been living today, I think he would be concerned about revival in the church. Then let's read on in the next few verses, and we'll see something else that's outstanding about this young man. All right, he said in verse 5, he said, "And let them deliver it to the hand of the doers of the work," that is, pay for the work to be done, the physical labor there in the temple, "to repair the breaches of his house." Verse 6, "Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully." Not only was Josiah an unusual young man, but he had some men that worked with him. These carpenters and these stone masons and others that built, and they were faithful men, and they were honest men. And so he trusted them. They did not have to make an accounting of the money that he had given them. "Now, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Now, here we have something else that took place in those days. We find, first of all, a young man that was sincere, a young man, though he was quite young, understood the difference between right and wrong, and his desire was to go right. Then we have a young man that was interested in the temple, interested in God's program, interested in putting his efforts to build that which would build up the kingdom of God. Now, those are good qualities, and what follows those qualities is God's unusual blessings in communing with that young man. Now, God, I'm sure, communed with him in more ways than just the scriptures, but here he had the scriptures that had been lost. He had them found, and now he had preserved the scriptures so that they could be read in the temple. Now, you and I have that situation before us today. There are many false religions. There are many who deny the Word of God. There are those who would take the Book of Mormons before they would take the Bible. There are those who would take various translations, modern-day translations of the Bible, before they would take the Bible. There are many of those who would take the Word of man. You know, we've got some powerful preachers today, great speakers who have unusual ability to sway people and bring them under their spell, so to speak, of positive thinking, and let's all love one another, and let's all think right, and if we'll just think right, everything's going to be all right. Well, people love that kind of thing. The old sinful nature will look for that and adhere to that. But we need a preservation of the Word of God. Well, God has preserved His Word for us, and we have His Word. We do not flounder without the Word of God today. We do not have to open God's Word, the Bible, and wonder if we're hearing from God or not. I believe with all of my heart that when I pick up my Bible and I open it and read it, I'm reading, "Thus saith the Lord God." I'm not reading man's writing. I'm reading what God said. I know it has gone through some translations. I understand that. But I also understand that God has given us His Word, and God will preserve His Word so that we can find it reliable. So it had been long time forgotten. Manasseh had, the preceding king, had destroyed most of the manuscripts of the Bible. He was so wicked until he had destroyed much of the Bible. And now whenever the righteous king came along, then God uncovered the word so that the people might hear the word of God and that they might follow it. And then, of course, we find in verse 11, "And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes, and he commanded Hilkiah and all of these priests to go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah." Now, he said, we will rend our clothes in recognition of our sins. So he not only recognized right from wrong very early, which is a commendable thing and a refreshing thing, he was willing and desirous to restore the place of worship. He found, or it was found during his time, the preserved Word of God so they might have it to go by. And then he repented on the first hearing of the Word of God. In other words, he had the proper reaction to the Word of God. When it was read, he believed it. He accepted it. And when the Word of God called for repentance and called for men to turn to God, then he did so and called upon his people to do so. And I tell you, it's a refreshing thing whenever we find men who are willing to repent. We find so many today who will try to justify their sins and the sins of the people. We have a strong tendency today to ignore sins because everybody's doing it. Because there's so much of it going on, we have a tendency to ignore it. Well, my dear friend, here is a young man that didn't ignore sin. He repented of it. Then he called for the prophets to explain it, and then God gave him great protection. And verse 19, "Because thy heart was tender, thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou hast heardest that I spoke in this place." And because of all of this, we read the latter part of verse 20, "He be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." So here is a young man that started off recognizing right from wrong, being concerned about the place of worship, reading, believing, and repenting when God's word was spoken and when God's written word was read and explained to him, and then he died in peace. There is a good example for you today. You too can die in peace with God if you will follow the example that we have here in the life of Josiah.